Hour number two, Robbie and Rexrode, ESPN 102.5 and 106.3. The game and the game, Nashville app, Joe Rexrode, Elijah Campbell, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley. And we're very happy to welcome in our next guest, former NFL agent, writes for CBS Sports, an expert on contracts and the salary cap, Joel Corey. Joel, thank you so much for being with us. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing just fine. A little bit of, Nashville's smarting a little bit today, not getting the World Cup, but there's a lot of other things going on in this town, Joel, including the Titans just wrapping up their mini camp, their entire spring session, and a couple of guys who I think are very interesting from a contract perspective. And I wanted to just get your thoughts. I guess we'll go one at a time. First of all, Jeffrey Simmons may have executed a hold-in at mini camp. You know, he was there. He didn't participate on the field. He did talk, and you know, it was kind of vague. But regardless, he's got a fourth year and about $4 million this year, Joel. And then, of course, they've picked up his fifth year option at 10.7. And he's a guy who I think you could make the case is the second best interior defender in the NFL and the best not named Aaron Donald. Just wondering your thoughts just on that situation, how you think the Titans should proceed and where you think it might go.
Well, after watching how dominant he was in the playoff loss against the Bengals, the first thing I said was he's already eligible for contract extension. I'd try to get that thing done as soon as possible. So I think he should be your priority if you're going to do anything with anybody. Typically, when you have first-round picks that have played three seasons, historically an average of three have gotten extensions heading into their fourth year or don't play on the fourth year. The Titans have never done that with anybody, so that would be a huge departure from their philosophy. In some years, you have none. The Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack, Zach Martin year, nobody got an extension after their third year. But you said could be the second-best interior defensive lineman behind Aaron Donald. Well, Aaron Donald just got a huge raise. Mm-hmm. He was averaged $22.5 million per year. Now, no new years are added, but he's making $95 million over 3 years. That averages to almost $31.7 million. So that means if you believe in the theory of rising tide lifts all boats, then that's going to benefit Jeffrey Simmons. So what you thought you could get him for before Aaron Donald's readjusted contract, you may be in a whole different ballgame.
Talking to Joel Corey, former agent, now CBS. Joel, you mentioned the rising tide lifting all boats, and it certainly did that with the wide receiving group, right? Like Christian Kirk got a massive contract for a guy who has never had over 1,000 yards receiving, and it had a pretty sizable effect to the wide receiver market. It's going to happen with interior defensive linemen, too. Just how much, I guess, are we thinking here in terms of inflation of the top-end defensive linemen due to the massive size of Aaron Donald's contract?
Well, Donald was serving as a cap for all those guys because in 2018, he was the first $20 million per year non-quarterback at $22.5 million per year. Nobody had been able to get past Aaron Donald, so that barrier shouldn't exist. Somebody's going to go past $22.5 million per year. If I'm Simmons, I'm asking for over $25 million per year given that Donald is at almost 32. What I would look at, I haven't done this because I'm not representing him. I know he doesn't have an agent yet and appears to be either in the process of hiring one or has a team of advisors or something to that effect, according to his uncle, Jason Hatcher, the former Cowboys player. I'd look at the difference between the first, the highest paid interior defensive line and the second one historically and use that as a guide for where I want to be. I don't know what that number is, though.
Yeah, actually, Joel, in fact, I was going to ask you about the team versus agent. He did. I'm going to attribute this to Teron Davenport, ESPN. He has retained Walking Business Sports Group now, so that includes Paul DeRussell. So he has made that public now. Had that not happened, I guess I'll ask you anyway, what do you think about, the approach of no agent or, team – versus go get an experienced agent, especially with a player like this who is coming upon a huge contract to be negotiated?
Well, I'll give you three examples where there was no traditional agent, but a team of advisors, or at least a knowledgeable advisor helping. You had Laremy Tunsil become the highest paid offensive lineman without an agent. Bobby Wagner in 2019 set the market for off-ball linebackers without an agent. And DeAndre Hopkins in 2020 with the Cardinals, we set the receiver market without an agent. So if you got the right advisor or team around you, we have three instances where players have done quite nicely for themselves.
So I guess maybe Jeff should just go back to the team. That's pretty good stuff right there. Joel, I do want to ask you also about Derrick Henry. A very different situation. He, of course, he has 2 years left on his deal. The guaranteed money is out. It's a $15 million this year, $15.5 million next year. Has made clear, you know, that he'd like something done. You know, again, he showed up at minicamp, participated on the field, all that stuff. This is a very, I think, friendly situation. But if you were the Titans, how would you look at this? A 28-year-old running back, still the center of your team, one of the most popular players of franchise history. You know, you're going to lean heavily on him. Would you do anything? Maybe make some of the money guaranteed, a little bit of a goodwill bump? Like, where do you think that goes and should go?
Well, if I'm the Titans, I'm not doing a thing for him, just because that position has a shorter shelf life than any other position in NFL, and I would expect diminishing returns to set in after this contract is over. It expires after the 2023 season. Because of the heavy usage, had he stayed healthy, he was going to shatter the record of carries in a season. I know there's the extra game, but it was on pace for over 460, I believe. And we saw, to me, already some decline from the past 2 years, because he averaged 5.4 yards per carry. And in 2020, it was down to 4.3. And then if you start looking at some of these newer advanced stats, we saw a decline. I know Next Gen Stats track something called rushing yards over expected, which is how many more yards you get than you should have. I don't know how they figure that out. But he was leading the league the past 2 years, and there is a pretty good drop in that category as well. Also, you were 6-2 when he got hurt. He ended up in first place and had home field advantage for the playoffs when some people thought, well, Titans are done without Derrick Henry. I'm going to leave it as is if I'm the Titans.
Joel, another thing, too, with this Titans team, we talked about this yesterday, and that was with the trade of A.J. Brown to Philadelphia, and Philadelphia signing him to $25 million. The Titans were essentially saving a lot of money to get rid of him, and maybe some flexibility to maybe overpay for Jeffrey Simmons or do whatever they want with Derrick Henry's contract, whatever they decide to do. But how much, now looking back at it, does that A.J. Brown trade give them that kind of flexibility? And what do you think, I guess, kind of like the outlook of the team is, and if that's going to be something that's going to make them better down the road?
Yeah, well, you're going to need Burks to come in and be a pretty good receiver. I know there have been some challenges so far. I hope this isn't a foreshadowing of Kadarius Toney last year with the Giants, because he had multiple things happening all offseason after he was drafted, and that didn't go well. But I do remember last year with Ja'Marr Chase, he couldn't catch a cold until the regular season started, and look what he did. So you never know which way it's going to go. But what you do have now is enough cap room after Julio Jones's contract came off the books to get through the season. I would do something with Simmons sooner rather than later. I would make him one of the rare guys who gets the contract extension as a first-round pick after 3 years. That would be my priority of where I'm going to use the money. You already have enough of a little over $11 million to get through the season. So he would be my priority if I'm going to do anything of anybody. Or maybe I'd look to add a veteran receiver and see what shakes out between now and the start of the regular season.
One more thing for you, Joel. The I feel like I think this offseason in particular, I suppose it's been, it hasn't just been this offseason, but Liberty's taken with the cap to me have just, you know, have of course reached an all time high. There's a lot of different ways to go about stretching it, so to speak. So my question for you, Joel, is when people say the salary cap is quote unquote fake, what is your response to that? And do you feel like this will be addressed in a future CBA in terms of maybe not being able to have this much flexibility with the cap?
Well, this CBA runs until 2031, so nothing's going to happen anytime soon. But, yeah, the cap is still real. We've even seen with the Rams that the cap has cost them some players that they would have liked to have had. That they got outbid for Von Miller. Their number two corner is now with the Chargers, so there have been some effects with the cap. If the cap didn't matter, Robert Woods would be their third receiver. He wouldn't have been traded. They would have been able to keep his cap number in check. You can kick the can down the road a lot easier with the cap when it goes up a decent amount. We had a huge jump this year. That's part of it. Once the new media rights deals kick in, I think you're going to see teams be able to continue to outrun kicking the can down the road by pushing cap obligations into tomorrow. But as we saw when you had an unforeseen event and the cap dropping significantly in 2021, teams have to make some roster decisions that unexpected. Janoris or Jack Rabbit Jenkins wouldn't have been at the Titans last year, but for the massive losses in revenue, because he still would have been with the Saints.
Joel Corey, former NFL agent, expert on all things contract, salary cap, and agents for CBS Sports. Joel, always a pleasure talking to you. Really, thanks a lot for your insight. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Joel.
Joel Corey, there we go. And we're going to get a break and react to some of what Joel said about the very real salary cap here on Robbie and Rex on ESPN 102.5, 106.3, Game of the Game, Nashville app.
Hey, Robbie Stanley here to tell you, you can go yard all June long with $5 Dinger Tuesdays on FanDuel Sportsbook. This season, all customers will get $5 for every home run hit by both teams when you place a $25 to hit a home run wager on Tuesday MLB games. And the best part about Dinger Tuesdays is even if your bet loses, FanDuel will pay you $5 for every home run hit. So, look, I don't like the New York Yankees. Can't stand them, actually. But Aaron Judge can crush the ball, and I think he does so again today against the Rays. But you take it any way you want to take it. What are you waiting on? Just pick your home run hitter and turn big swings into big wins. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. So head on over to your FanDuel account or download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code ROB. Once again, that promo code is ROB. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max bonus of $25. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789.
Hey, everybody, did you know you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day? Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex, short ESPN 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Have you ever seen that video?
The video?
You're just doing the sprinkler, but have you ever seen the video for this?
Absolutely
with
not.
Chevy Chase?
Please tell me that he does the sprinkler.
No, but actually, it's not too far from that. You should Google that, YouTube that. It's like Paul Simon just sitting there with Chevy Chase doing weird dance moves. Yeah, it's kind of
wait.
Kinda
can
cool.
we talk about for a second when you came back from the break? You were just like, "Hey, everybody!"
Hey,
it was just like
he's comfortable.
Yeah,
he's
you were just chatting, good. Rex Road. You're
hey,
so comfy.
Welcome into the
one.
Show, everybody.
Joe Rex Road, the grooviest voice in Nashville. How about that?
Yeah,
how about that? Hey, how about that for a character arc?
Okay,
great.
Yeah, you just never know where things might go. So if you want to join in on the discussion on the phone or text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com,
highly recommend it.
615-737-1025. We just talked to Joel Corey. I love talking to Joel Corey. I love especially when Joel Corey lays it out for you how the salary cap is actually real.
It exists.
And how teams actually do not sign players because of the salary cap, which, as he said, even the Rams had that predicament. As ridiculous as the Rams look, all the things they've done to try to load back up when it shouldn't be, you know, real, just like the Chiefs did and your Saints, we laid out three players clearly that the New Orleans Saints would absolutely love to pay right now and would be paying and would be employing and would be better for it, but they're not on the team because of the salary cap.
Two of which were in the same draft class. Yeah. So they ran into the same problem at the same time.
But on the Titans front, see, I hear what Joel is saying, Elijah. Mm-hmm. But I think the Titans should do something for Derrick Henry. Maybe I'm just being a sentimentalist here, but I think that some kind of security, and Derrick Henry made it clear that he would like that. I mean, he probably made it about as clear as you can make it with, hey, do you like a promotion? Sure, that'd be great. Not, you know, there's no threat here or anything like that.
It's like, and you put it like that, yes, who doesn't?
Right. I mean, this is sort of, I think it's almost like a friendly nudge, like, hey, you're about to give me the ball 400 times, you know? Can there at least be some of this money guaranteed in case, you know, something happens? Maybe a little bit of a raise? I, again, the extension idea, I understand. I understand what Joel's saying there. And maybe the Titans are just going to kindly say, Derek, thanks for showing up, buddy, and we love you. And
thank you for your service.
Please play in your contract.
Yeah.
But I would consider doing something. Now, I totally agree with Joel on Simmons. I think this is
$25 million.
That's a massive number.
I wrote that down just to make sure that I didn't forget it. $25 million.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with the number, but I do agree with the idea of get it done now, whatever that looks like. I mean, did he say a guaranteed money number? Did he say that?
If he did, I might have missed that, but I definitely wrote down the terms of $25 million a year. With the way Donald's, which I guess like Spotrac has like the estimated value at 21, maybe he is accounting for like the super inflation now that's happening with Donald's contract, like being that interior defensive line. Like before that contract, maybe the second best defensive lineman or interior defensive lineman in the league probably would be $21 million. Maybe the Aaron Donald effect is approximately four.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so basically I keep Googling Aaron Donald's contract. I'm going to get this up here and look at it. But I also see that's another thing with he's right. You know, the rising tide lifts all boats. Thank you. The rising tide lifts all boats. And that's fine, but I still think Aaron Donald is just in a different plane.
He's one of one. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm sure that there is impact, and absolutely if you're Jeffrey Simmons' representation. And again, as we said, credit to TD. He actually has an agent now, so that's a good development for him. I'm sure that's exactly what they're going to say. They're going to say that, and they should. But I put the number out there, 4 years at 85, and I think 25 guaranteed. 25 to 30 guaranteed, that's the number.
Yeah.
Now you got security. You can go out there this year, and you can not worry about playing. I mean, I understand a lot of people are like, oh, you have to play for $4 million. But again, when you're this level of player and you're this important to a team, the market dictates that you should not be playing for $4 million. It's just
– yeah. Well, think about what he loses if he plays this year and either doesn't exceed expectations because he's already set the bar so high for himself that – if he plays better than he did last year, like we're talking about Aaron Donald type stuff, right? And or if something, heaven forbid, like an injury happened, the amount that he loses because of what his actual value is would be something that like be hard to live with if you're his representation or even him. Like that would, I mean, quite frankly, it would suck for him.
Well, I'd be, yeah, exactly.
It'd be terrible.
Right.
Still I mean, making $4 million. I get it to anybody else. Like that's a lot. Like $4 million is a lot to me. But
And 10.7 next year. You know, and if this was his option year, but that's the thing. If this was his option year, then that's the traditional time, yeah. Right? If this was his option year, which isn't bad, 10.7 million, but that would be it'd be a no-brainer. Of course, they would be redoing the deal in probably in camp, and that would be that. This is, as Joel Corey pointed out, this is not standard operating procedure for the Titans to go ahead and do this with 2 years. Again, you got 2 years, and you can tag them too if you want. You can play total hardball if you want here. And just, yep, you're under contract, and then you play on your option year, and then we tag you. But the thing is, as Joel pointed out, we've seen the dip and everything in COVID, and now you're seeing the TV and rights deals and streaming deals and everything. I mean, I feel like if you jump on this now, by the end of his deal, at which point he could still be a dominant player. May not be, but absolutely could still be a dominant player. That deal could look okay, you know.
Yeah, well, I think it
could look quite good. Perhaps that's what I said about AJ too, by the way. But that's a
that's an Eagles question.
That's a moot point. Yeah. That's a moot point, not a mute point. Not a mute point.
Hey,
a
I knew
moot
that one.
Point. Okay, so that's that another one. That's yeah. another one. Sean on the text line, driven by WilsonCounty.com. Says Rex Rohde here. You're a Rex Rohde? All right. I need some Rex Rohdes. Derek gets a little more guaranteed. Simmons needs to be signed ASAP. Yeah, I'd agree with that. You know, little bit some kind of a show of again, it's like you were employee of the month like 6 of the last 12 months. So here, you know what? You get the parking spot for a whole year and here's some shake and bake coupons, you know, like a little bit of something for Derek. But I think the Simmons thing needs to be a priority, and whether it was a hold in or Vrabel put him on a plan or whatever the case, like they're never going to say it clearly anyway. Point is, he was around. He decided he wanted to talk. Maybe it was a little confusing, but he did talk.
I think
overall it was an encouraging collection of things that happened last week. If you're a Titans fan who's actually worried about like Simmons being upset and thinking about AJ Brown, right?
There's some precedent for that this season where a player was upset and behind closed doors is asking for a lot. And of course, we don't know about that until the trade actually happens. The Titans are pretty good at keeping that stuff behind closed doors. So I guess that's something I didn't really think about really until now, that like the fact that he even spoke. I mean, probably tells you that not only he is confident something's probably going to get done, but the Titans are confident he's going to get something done, or that they're at least working towards like a pretty similar goal.
Well, I do think that Simmons probably wanted to talk because he doesn't want to be perceived as like someone who's disgruntled. You know, it is early. It's early, and it's a special situation. And so I think ideally on both sides it's like, Let's talk about this reasonably. Let's not get to the point, because as much as I get annoyed by all the AJ Brown was a problem in the locker room crap, I will say that
some revisionist history there.
Yeah, I will say that like it wasn't great on social media. Obviously, like the all the stuff about the contract, the way he went about it was not a good way to go about it. Now, I guess he did get if he just really really wanted to be in Philly with Jalen Hurts, his buddy. I mean, I guess he got what he wanted, but that's not the way you want to go about it. And Simmons, I think, talking also wanted to say to the fans, like, hey, I mean, you know.
It's good PR cool. move on him. Yeah.
It's cool.
We're cool. We're all cool. I'll be here.
We're all a bunch of Fonzies.
It's not jumping any sharks.
But we're all a bunch of Fonzies from Pulp Fiction. You get this reference?
I don't remember that line specifically because it is a long movie, but I've seen the movie.
Unlike Michelle, you've seen it. Right?
We all know I haven't seen it.
I mean, this is another absolute.
That's an all-timer. That's a good one.
That's an all-timer. All right, we're going to come back. I think we will revisit the Preds ownership story coming up on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5, 106.3, Gambling in Nashville app. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road live from the Hillside Medical Games Studio. Joe Rex Road here with Elijah Campbell, Michelle Knezovic, intern Hanley. And I guess this is the hourly Riz. Nice Peter Gabriel, though. Good stuff. Shock the monkey, Peter Gabriel. Also a weird video. If we're going to revisit the Preds ownership thing hourly? Is that our plan?
Do the hourly update, because there is a nice sense. I don't want to say, I don't think like panic is an appropriate word, but there is a nice sense of significant change based off of how Sportico worded the tweet when breaking the news, which isn't necessarily accurate based off of the digging you've done and the people you've talked to.
Yeah, and again, I want to give credit to Jared Stillman, too. Jared Stillman put out a tweet last night that I think, after talking to someone, that put a little bit of, doubt? Put a little bit of perspective on the situation. So Viking Matt on the text line says, so do we feel better or not about the Preds/Haslam/Forsberg? So the key point to me here, and the key thing that I think was misunderstood by the Sportico, and I think Sportico deserves some blame for this, you know, the Preds ownership group is continuing. It is going to continue to be a team owned by an ownership group. That is 100% the case. Now, how much of a percentage Bill Haslam is getting, whether that changes over time, all these things, I don't know. Who's selling out? I don't know. For sure. I've heard some things. I don't know. I'm not going to say any names because I don't know for sure. But Bill Haslam is joining the ownership group. Okay. Hopefully the Preds come out with more details today. There was a Board of Governors meeting yesterday. It stands to reason that this was mentioned in some capacity at the Board of Governors meeting, and that that leaked out to the reporters at Sportico. So again, credit for getting the information, but it was sold to me as like Bill Haslam, Governor Haslam, former governor of Tennessee, is going to replace the ownership group with a singular owner. That's not true. That's not the case. So to answer your question, Viking Matt, I don't know that this really Haslam, first of all, I don't think that this is like today there's going to be a Bill Haslam presser. I think this is a process, probably going to take a while. So I don't think that there's any impact whatsoever on Forsberg. And honestly, beyond that, again, still an ownership group. We talked about this earlier. People have different percentages of the Pred. So Haslam may end up with the most, but like, the 16 people or 16 people that are on the website right now that have a piece of the Preds. Like, it's not like you have 4.3%. So, all right, I guess you can pick.
You handle concessions.
Yeah. You have 11.4. So you can make the terrible decision to have Scott Stapp come and sing, in between periods, for example, whatever. Just throwing random stuff.
Give the people what they want by giving them Scott Stapp in intermissions. Yes.
Yeah. So it's a collective, So we need more clarity. We'll get more clarity at some point. I do hope that something comes from the Preds today on this. But the initial, oh, my gosh, Bill Haslam's taking over. Who's he firing? Who's he hiring? How is things going to change? Like, he is investing in the Preds and going to be a part of things.
So you're still at 53% for Forsberg.
Didn't I go up to 50? I went to 54.
Did you go to 54? Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. So you're at 54. So it's not. Yeah, that's not changing.
Yeah, Bill Haslam does not. Yeah, Bill Haslam does not move the percentage up or down for me. So that's where things are. And frankly, it's certainly newsworthy when a public figure joins an ownership group.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's newsworthy. You brought up the earlier, like the Timberlake, right?
JT. Yeah.
Getting in on the Grizzlies a little bit. I mean, it's newsworthy, but again, it's not like
he's not going to fire Lionel Hollins or anything,
right? Like Jerry Jones buying the Cowboys
and cleaning house.
Going to the golf course. Tom Landry, love you, man. We're moving on. Thanks, buddy. Like it's not that. So it's not quite all that deep, as the kids like to say. Viking. Okay, do you think this is why they haven't signed him yet? Would it pause the signing? No, I don't think these things are related. Not at all. No. I mean, it's David Poile has a certain amount of money to work with, and however the ownership group looks, like, he's got the same money.
I'll give you the spectrum of Magic Johnson with the Dodgers to Jerry Jones with the Cowboys in terms of ownership influence. I gave it like a 3. I don't know where you are on that scale there.
Well, I will say I don't know. Is it possible that I will say that when Tom Cigaran ran things, it was a little bit more. There was a little bit more of an ownership voice, at least.
Yeah.
Than there is now with Herb Fritch as the chairman. So, is it possible that Bill Haslam down the road has more influence? Wants that? Mm-hmm. I can't say for sure that it wouldn't evolve to that. I don't know. But right now on your scale, yeah, I think I'm right. I'm with you in there on that scale. What'd you say?
Yeah.
What, you said the Magic on one and the Jerry Jones on the other? Is that, probably 3. Maybe I'd go 3.2.
Yeah.
So just to randomly pick a number.
He's Justin Timberlake then on the scale.
Yeah, something like that. Right.
Yeah.
On the text line also, Max says, Joe, I want to officially apologize. I texted in last week to call my shot, said I didn't care about the NBA Finals. I'm here to eat crow. Because I decided to watch it after you said you felt sorry for me. I got to give it to you. I did enjoy it. Max. Thank you, Max.
I'm glad he enjoyed it.
Thank you very much, Max. See? Get into it. I people who don't love the NBA, I don't get it. I don't get why you wouldn't watch the NBA. It's amazing right now. I don't get why you wouldn't watch the Stanley Cup playoffs. Watch every second of that you can.
Great product.
Just basically watch sports. You know, it's good for you. Dave in Big Rock says, I think if you factor in Aaron Donald's performance side by side against Jeffrey Simmons since 2020, and okay, I'm reading his text, and then he goes all caps, hi, my name is Rex Road, the cap is not real, and Creed is awesome. All right, you got me, Dave in Big Rock.
And so is Blink-182 and boy bands.
He trapped you in that one.
Good stuff.
And Kentucky basketball.
Wait, what about Kentucky basketball?
Also awesome.
Yeah.
In terms of what you think.
Is awesome.
I've never had a problem with Kentucky basketball. Brought me much enjoyment. I mean, sometimes when they lose, it's been much enjoyment too. But you know, when it's fine. I don't. You think I'm a Kentucky basketball hater, Michelle? Why?
You are.
I like to troll you.
Yeah, but
based on what? I mean, no, I don't hate Kentucky basketball.
This is the first time I'm ever hearing of this.
Of me not hating Kentucky basketball?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. I'm confused.
I think
make fun of John Calipari sometimes.
Well, maybe I just thought you didn't like them because you would always jump on the GB Joe Vols bandwagon.
Well, I just think it's amazing how much Rick Barnes has dominated Calipari. I don't make the rules.
I think it's amazing his postseason record.
Well, that's fine. Then go talk trash to Vols fans. That's fine.
I'm not a Vols fan.
you hear those beeps? That's the Brinks truck that's backing into the studio right now. They're about to give Joe all the money from the University of Tennessee signing his checks now because that is exactly why he's got pro Vols takes.
Yeah, thanks for feeding into that. So now though, the Vanderbilt fans can, that's confirmation for them.
Yes.
My gosh. I hate your team.
That's a big, big truck. It's a lot of cash in there. There's a whole lot of cash in there. Yeah, there's a big Power T on it too. Yeah, so that's you got your name all over, Joe. Congratulations.
I forgot to put the GoFundMe on Twitter for Vol Twitter. Vol Twitter not angry at me for the moment. I should have capitalized on that. But I will capitalize on the next few moments to have a Rex rant. But this is not just your average everyday Rex rant. This is me yelling at Elijah.
All right.
Coming up next, I'm Robbie and Rex Show at ESPN 102 Vital 106.3 The Game. And the Game Nashville app.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Here's the battle of the little ones, and Isaiah wins that one.
Of course he does.
Isaiah looking to answer with a three, and does.
Excellent execution, Kelly.
Isaiah, ahead of the field. Two.
One of the fastest guys in
running, like he had it all lined up. He will keep it close to the basket and spins it home. Wants
once again going to the basket. It's two for Isaiah. Takes it. Makes it.
Think we have an idea of what we're about to get into here, perhaps?
Oh, yeah. Your worst take.
Worst basketball take. Elijah, this is, you know what? Man, I tell you what. I'm going to not get heated because you have no idea how many times I have gotten heated about this. It's so bad. It's so bad if you think John Stockton's better than Isaiah Thomas. It's so bad. And that's why I want this rant to be about that. I actually was going – I was trying to find a – So my last show in Michigan on the drive with Jack, they surprised me and got Isaiah on the show, which, of course, was – I had no idea.
You melted.
Well, I mean, I'm sure. In fact, I don't think I've listened to it, but I tried to find it, but it's like the audio's messed up on YouTube. But I know that one of my questions was, so why do people think that that John Stockton's better than you? And he didn't give like some – I wanted like, that's right, they're wrong. Although Stockton, by the way, said that when he had Isaiah introduce him into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, which Isaiah, of course, was already a part of. This is one of those things, and I hate to be the old head, as we talked about earlier on the show, Michael Wilbon with his millennial dynasty or whatever he's talking about. What do you call it? Millennium?
I'll call it millennial.
Yeah, the millennial dynasty. The millennial dynasty. But this is, I mean, I'll accept whatever you want to throw at me statistically if you want to try, although really those don't end up in your favor either. But
they do, actually.
No, they really
do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. You can say your piece. This is absolutely one of those situations where if you were around and alive and watching basketball games back then and watch them play, you would never ever say that John Stockton is better than Isaiah Thomas. John Stockton's a great player. He was a sound player. He had a longer career. He accumulated more statistics. He could not take over a game, not even close like Isaiah could. Not even close. And when they played each other, one of them could guard the other one. One of them could not guard the other one. But if you got stats to throw at me, I will let you have the floor.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like, if you look at every single per 100 possession stat, which I account for a lot more than just he did this per game, because like this accounts for like the change of pace in the game of basketball.
Okay.
It was historically high in the late 80s, historically low in the late 90s. There are two spectrums of pace totals or pace numbers in the NBA in terms of just raw
possessions.
Yeah,
the Pistons had a lot to do with that, but yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, so like when you're looking at counting stats, yeah, then maybe you can make that argument. But like there were so many seasons in John Stockton's career where like the assists per one, like the amount of points he's generating per 100 possessions is just astronomically better.
Yeah, okay.
Like you're accounting for them playing the slowest pace, and that Jazz team specifically, which that was part of their game plan. That's what made them good. They dictated pace almost better than any team in the NBA at that time. And, of course, every team liked to play slow, but they really liked to play slow.
Yeah. So, and that's fine.
Slow and in control. I don't want to say slow is a bad thing because that has a negative connotation because people call Villanova slow, but they're not slow. They're just in control. That's one of the reasons why they're so good.
You can believe me or not. Magic Johnson one time in an interview talked about how a lot of NBA cities don't tally assists correctly, but he said, but in LA and Utah, they do. And what he was saying was that if you give the guy the ball, whatever happens there in the next few seconds, you're going to get the assist if that guy scores. There were post entries by John Stockton to Karl Malone in which he goes this way, then he hits that baseline, that patented baseline jumper. It was an assist every time.
There's a lot of those.
John Stockton's great. Not taking anything away from him. But John Stockton did not take over an NBA Finals quarter and score 25 points where no one could deal with him with one foot. He did not score 22 points the next year in the third quarter at Portland in the decisive, really, quarter of that series to take over that game and that series. He just wasn't as good as him, man.
Games are different. I mean, like, he's not a scorer.
Well, that's fine. And again, I understand, I hear you on pace and everything. Isaiah, 19.2 points per game in his career. John Stockton, 13.1. Assists, John Stockton, 10.5. Isaiah, 9.3.
10.5, yeah, per game for his career. Both of them. Possessions, it's astronomical.
Yeah, and that's
17.
That's fine, but you're telling me that you're going to go with that stat and make that you're determinant that he is a better player than Isaiah Thomas?
You can make that assumption.
Well, yeah. You can. I don't think you should. I think you should change your mind now.
And I'm going to, just to double down and make Joe mad.
Yeah.
If you look at the points he generated just the probably more points than Isaiah Thomas. If you any random 100 possessions,
right? But see, table. But see, sometimes
and that counts as bad years as like a late third. Like those are career totals, right? Or career 100 per 100 possession stats. That includes his bad years on some he was not very great even when he was 40. You know, playing for the Jazz. He played until he was 40. So, right. There's some numbers, to bring those down a little bit because he wasn't anywhere near as productive then. His 10-year peak as a point guard, everything you want a point guard to do, he did.
Except take over a game. And you're right. They were constructed differently. Sorry, if you're going to judge a player against another player, don't you think that has to be part of it? Don't you think it has to be, oh, my God, we just talked about Steph Curry, right? Did we not?
Yeah.
We talked about how Steph Curry, frankly, I think he's the best little man to play the game now. I've thought Isaiah. I think Steph now. But Steph Curry dictated the defense. He created space for others. Isaiah Thomas was someone you had to account for. He was a problem. He could get into the lane whenever he wanted to get into the lane. He was a guy who averaged 24 and 13 in 85, which is absurd. Different era, yes. But also, he had to change his game and even go more, let Dumars play make some. Throw into the post to Edwards or Aguirre. You can't just be the ball dominator and just get in the lane whenever you want and dimes off that, right? He changed his game, and it helped them win championships. But even through that, he was someone that was a problem for people. John Stockton was a great player, facilitator, solid, did everything well. He shot better than Isaiah. He's a better shooter, no doubt.
Yeah.
His overall percentages are better. But
shot awareness is important, too. There's some
intangibles here that you have to completely dismiss to try to say Stockton's better. You have to completely dismiss them. And you're better than that, Elijah. It's not just. No, you are better than that.
Gary Payton would agree with me.
Hey, guys, listen.
Well, Magic Johnson and Charles Barkley both said the greatest little man to play, period, was Isaiah Thomas, not John Stockton.
Good for them.
We have a Twitter.
Good for Gary Payton. Yeah. Gary Payton is the one voice of the NBA.
He is. His son just won a title.
He's the only guy who counts. All right, what do you got?
We have a Twitter poll out there, so the public can speak.
Well.
Isaiah Thomas or Joe.
Well, there's.
Oh, well, I know where I'm voting now.
Yeah. Oh,
I love how this started asking me this one day, and I was like, yeah, I think I'd go Stockton. And then, it was it's really close. I think I'd go Stockton. And now I'm talking myself into, tripling down on this.
Yeah.
D-Mace will get mad. D-Mace is on Rex Road's side.
Well, it's not an argument. If you watched them play against each other, it's like we're all just like, dude, what?
The public has spoken. John Stockton, 100%. Isaiah Thomas, 0. There you go. There it is.
Real quick, though.
Screenshots live forever.
You spelled it like the latter day Isaiah Thomas, who had a couple good years and then got way overpaid.
Yeah, because
the Isaiah Thomas we're talking about doesn't have the A before the I.
Oh, I had that at first, and then
okay.
I think he's the only Isaiah in pro sports to ever spell it like that. I've never seen it spelled anywhere else.
In that case, by the way, I would vote for Stockton in that argument. All right, we're gonna get a break, and when we come back to Titans talk, Teron Davenport here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game, 106.3. And the Game Nashville app.